Today is February 23rd, 2008, and I'm interviewing Dr. Willie Mae Ingram here at Jerusalem Baptist Church as part of the Oral History Collection Day at Hurt Park. That's just so they immediately know who we are and what we're doing. Mrs. Ingram, if you could tell me a little bit about when and where you were born and where you lived in Roanoke.
I don't know the address. I can't remember that, but it was on 15th Street Southwest. Well, at that time it was West End, and then changed the name in later years to Southwest. All we knew was West End. And I was born 1930, December 26th, on 15th Street.
What are some of your earliest memories of growing up in Roanoke?
Oh, one thing I remember, my grandparents, and how everybody on the street, they were just like family. If you misbehave, the neighbors would get you. you couldn't get by with anything. And I remember eating at other people's homes, and you were welcome if you got there at supper time. You could eat supper with anybody. Today is not like that. You hardly know your neighbors today. But back in that time, everybody knew everybody up here in West End. And everybody was like your family. And we claimed everybody as cousins then. Oh, that's my cousin.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had three brothers and one sister.
And tell me a little bit about them and your parents and who you lived with.
When at first we lived with my grandparents on Jackson Avenue, close to the railroad track. At that time, it was houses on Jackson Avenue and 13 and 14 and 15th Street at the bottom of the hill. Those houses are gone now. And we played hopscotch, hide and go see, and all things, marbles, with homemade toys. Riding in tires, car tires. They would put you in the middle of the car tire and ride up and down the hill with it, which was very dangerous. We didn't realize how dangerous it was then. And we would fight and make up. Today is a little different. We fight like this minute, and the next 5 minutes we were playing. And the parents at that time, they didn't get all upset like they do today. Because they would send you home. In fact, they would whip you too if they found you misbehaving, you know. So, I mean, it was a lovely thing. It was a connection we had here that I don't see today.
Tell me a little bit about the house that you grew up in and what you can remember about it.
On Jackson Avenue, when I was about six and seven years old, that was the first house I remember living in. And my grandparents lived there, my grandfather, Tom Mahler, and my grandmother, Laura Mahler. And my mother's name was Corbell Watson. My mother worked, and my grandparents took care of us. My mother and father at that time were separated. And she was a breadwinner at that time, my mother. And we didn't know that we were poor. We always had something to eat, and clothes to wear. Might not have been the finest, but we didn't have any inkling that we were poor. And every supper time, it was always something on the table, if it was just beans and cornbread and stewed tomatoes. And I remember going to school at that time at 7 years old. We had to walk from Jackson Avenue in Southwest and 13th Street to Harrison Avenue Northwest. And it wasn't any effort at that time. It was cold, but we still so happy to go to school until walking across 10th Street Bridge, which is modern now. Walking all the way from Southwest to Northwest to Harrison School on 6th Avenue. It was fun, and we enjoyed it, and I enjoyed going to Harrison School and my beautiful teachers there.
What do you remember about your teachers? Are there any ones in particular?
Yes, Mrs. Taylor. I remember her, and she would always ask us a question. She said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, positively, without a shadow of doubt." I said, "Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am." And at that time, I don't know, the schools, but the teachers was different. They was more like parents to you. And you knew your teachers, and they knew you, and you loved your teachers. It wasn't a thing of coming in with an attitude, you know. We were happy to be there because they treated us as if we were their own children. We have good teachers today, but it was a little different then because I feel that the children today, they exposed to too much, and they have too much, too early. Still just having the necessary things they have, you know, things they really don't need. Too many games that's not good for them.
How much schooling did you finish?
Well, I quit school in the 10th grade. My mother was sick, and I went back and got my GED. And then I attended Bethlehem Bible College for 5 years, and that's where I received my doctorate.
And what did you go on to do after your, hang on just a moment, I'm going to see. Sorry, mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't realize microphones hear more than our ears. Mm-hmm. So you just told me that you you got your doctorate.
Yes.
And then tell me a little bit about once you moved out of home and maybe started having a family of your own and a life of your own.
Well, I married early. I had a beautiful husband. And he pastored a church here in Roanoke for 21 years. His name was Robert K. Ingram at Bible Way Pentecostal Church of Christ here in Roanoke. And I enjoyed that. The church was a family church. It started out small up under the pastorship of Bishop C.P. Jones, and then he passed, and my husband, at that time, he was the assistant pastor, so they passed it on to him. For 21 years were good years. We, family, and people cared for one another. If you were sick in the hospital, had death in the family, people would bring food, you know, and come to see about you. And we would, some people didn't have telephones sometimes, but they would always check on each other. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Today, some check on each other and some don't, but it makes you feel so good when you're in and can't make it out, or either if you have death in the family or other tragedies, you know, things. People think enough of you just to send a card.
What do you remember about your home life once you had a husband of your own? Did you listen to the radio in the evening? Were there any big events like when you got your first telephone or refrigerator or anything like that that sticks out in your mind?
Yes, because at that time we gave each other furniture for Christmas presents and birthdays and anniversary. Like if it's my birthday, my husband would give me a chair. If we would give a television to, you know, and everybody enjoyed it, then, that was a good way of accomplishing and furnishing your house up, you know. We were poor, we didn't have much, and we made it. At that time, A&P was down on Salem Avenue. We could take $25 and make it last 2 weeks. But today, $25 won't even last a day. But during that time, I had my children, and it was beautiful because I was a person of low maintenance, so really it wasn't hard for me to manage.
What types of things would you do in the evening together as a family?
Well, at that time we would get together, the neighborhood mothers, about four of us, would get together and play bingo. Either we would just sit on the porch and talk, and the children would play in the yard, you know. Wasn't any big things. In fact, we didn't know how to do anything else much but that. Talk and go to church meetings in the afternoon, you know, prayer service, Bible class. And to us, that was enough.
Were there any family stories that were passed on by your parents or your grandparents to you that you've kind of carried on or retold?
My grandparents came from Tupelo, Mississippi. That was the home of Elvis Presley. And they would tell stories about the South. Some stories I won't relate to, you know, because it brings sadness, you know. But all in all, every year they would go back to visit other relatives that was there in Chickasaw, Mississippi, Tupelo, Mississippi. And today I have a couple of relatives in Arkansas, and we still correspond, you know, and everything. But my mother would tell us about the church meetings in Mississippi, that when they arrived there, got off the train, and they didn't have taxes, they didn't have money for taxes, you know, to ride back way out in the woods where they lived. So they would walk, and said most of the time it was on a Sunday, and they could hear the church services way back in the woods. They could hear the people just singing and praising God. And that was joy to them, you know. She would explain how then they would, how would I put that, felt like they was really home, because they would meet people that they didn't have any connection with, but maybe 1 and 2 years in between time, you know.
Did anyone in your family ever serve in the military?
Yes, I had 2 brothers.
When which wars or what kind of service did they have?
Army. They were in the Army. Mm-hmm. One brother was stationed in Germany. And trying to think, my other brother, he wasn't in Germany, wasn't in those, in that part. It was a little, I can't think of where he was stationed. But anyway, they served 2 years apiece. Both of them served 2 years in service.
Mm-hmm.
And my baby brother didn't serve in the Army, Navy, anything. He was, at that time, he was too young.
Mm-hmm. Did your family, was that a point of pride, you think, for your brothers, that they had that kind of service?
Yes. And today, it paid off for my second brother. He died 2 weeks ago. And by him serving in the Army, he was able to go to VA hospital, you know, and had good nursing care and everything. They took real good care of him up there. Had he not gone into the service, the expenses would have been terrible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was on dialysis for about 2 years. So you can think about being on dialysis for 2 years and other complications. And you had to pay, or either have good insurance, you know, it would have been right steep. But doing it, by him being in the service, the Army took care of all of that, which was a blessing.
You've told me a little bit already about some of the stores that you're going to, the A&P and whatnot. Are there any other places in the community that you or your family would go to very often that stick out in your mind?
Well, as a little girl, I used to come here at Jerusalem Baptist Church. They used to have a little house. This is a new part. This is a new church. We served in the old church. My mother sung on the choir back in the 30s here at Jerusalem. I think Elder Brown, Reverend Brown, was the pastor at that time. And my grandmother was a member here years ago, back in the 20s. And my mother, she was on the choir here. And they used to have a little house out from the church, the old church. They used to call it Baraka House. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, they would always have candy and drinks and things to serve the children when they would come up, you know what I mean, for different little occasions. And that was fun.
What are other fond memories that you have of your childhood? Were there any special traditions or holiday celebrations?
Well, to us, Christmas was a big deal, because during the Christmas, everybody got new shoes, everybody got clothes, and that meant a lot, you know. And the most, I guess, what you remember is food, because my grandmother would make cakes by 4 flavors of cake, like chocolate, caramel, and coconut, and sweet potato pies, and cookies, turkey, ham, chitlins. That was a favorite. I guess you don't know anything about chitlins, do you?
I do, actually. I'm from Nashville, so.
Oh, yeah, yes. And I mean, it was, well, all week we would celebrate Christmas. They would cook enough food one day to last a week. And it was fun. And I remember my grandfather, at that time, when I was about 7, he had a hog pen. You know where Hurt Park School is? Okay, at that time, people had hog pens up there. And it was a creek that ran through that area. And they used to pick creasy salad, watercress. And I remember as a little girl, my grandfather had this huge hog pen and this great big hog, what you call them, sows or something you would call these great big pieces, and they had little piglets. And we used to climb up on the railing of it, you know, to just play with, you know, not play with the pigs, but just to look at them. And that was fun to us because children nowadays never saw little piglets, piglets, you know. We, to us, at that time, that was a big deal, you know. Then about Thanksgiving, my grandfather and other men that had hog pens up there, they would kill hogs. And it would be cold then. We don't have the weather now that we had back then. It would be so cold they could kill the hogs and work with the, they did all the butchering and everything. It was so cold that the meat wouldn't even spoil. But today, you know, I mean, things are different. It's hot one day and cold the next day. Because I remember it being so cold that my grandmother used to pile a cover up over us, you know, in the bed and take an iron. They had flat irons, wasn't electric irons, and put them on the back of the stove, and then they would wrap them up in cloths and put it at the bottom of the bed on our feet so we stay warm in the bed at night.
What types of cultural events that happened in Roanoke that you can remember? Were there any fairs or entertainers?
Yes, the lakeside. That was, later on, we used to go to the lakeside every year, and that was beautiful. Then the circus would come to town, and that was good. Because I remember even one great event, ECO. You ever heard of ECO and ICO? Really?
No.
They were twins. I think they were twins. Anyway, their parents was from Rocket Mount, but they had a sister that lived here in Roanoke. Well, back in the 20s, I think they were stolen. They were as babies, and they were albinos. And I remember them bringing them to town to visit their sister. They had a guard that would come with them because the circus had stole them. It was a big write-up in the paper about it here in Roanoke. You can... Roanoke Time. You remember?
I don't remember it.
But check it. Will you check it with Roanoke Times? They had, if I had a thought, I would have brought the pictures here with me today. And they were real heavy set men, and their skin was white like milk. And their eyes were dense, you know. And they had hair, it was like wool. White on the head, just like sheep wool. I'm surprised you haven't heard about ECO and ICO. The real name was John and Willie Muse. And I knew their mother as a little girl. And the family is still, some of the family is still located here in Roanoke. Beautiful family.
Did you ever go to the movies or to dances?
Dance to the movies. Maybe once a month we could go to the movies. We used to walk from Jackson Avenue to Henry Street. It was a movie. You come across Henry Street Bridge. When you get it to the top of the bridge, you make a right, and that was the Virginia Theater. And we could go on Saturday, you know, to shoot them up. Gabby Hayes and all of them played in the movie, Roy Rogers. And that was nice.
Did you go to dances as well, I think?
No. I never did go to any dances. My husband let me go to my first dance.
Tell me about how you met your husband.
Through a girlfriend. We were coming from a basketball game, and she introduced me to him. It's that.
Was it love at first sight, or?
No. Just friends, you know. And later on, he got my telephone number from someone, you know, and called me, and we started talking like that.
Did you have any children?
Yes, I had 3 children.
Tell me about them a little bit.
Well, I have my oldest one, his name is Robert Jr., Kurt Jr., and my second child was Geneva Nadine, then Robin Clarissa. And I have 5 grandchildren. Oh, let me count. And about 4, 5, I have about 5 great-grandchildren, too.
My goodness, that's a big family. What types of things did you share with your children that maybe had been passed on to you, or things you've tried to instill in them about this community?
Just about the things that I told you, I would tell them about things that happened in my childhood coming up here. We took little or nothing and was happy with it and enjoyed it. You know, when nowadays it takes so much, but my baby girl was telling me the other day, she said, "Mama, you should write things down, you know, just like the story Roots." Because my grandparents would sit on the porch in the afternoon and tell us things that happened to them, you know, before they came to Roanoke. I won't go into that.
Were they mostly happy stories or some of their difficult stories?
Sad, some sad, and some was good. Mm-hmm. I guess it was a mixture, you know.
What did that give to you as a child? What did you take away from their stories?
It made me to know that they were strong people. And without any education, they did well, I think. And it made me want to do better and to make sure that my children did better than what I did. And I thank God today they have good jobs, you know, and homes and nice automobiles and everything, and they're church-going people, and I like that. And they are good citizens, and that means a lot.
Miss Ingram, are there any other stories that I haven't asked you about that you usually share or tell to people when they ask you to tell them about your favorite memories?
Let me see. Oh, this Southwest, which you would call it now, but North West End, back in that time, it was always an arrival with Northwest and Northeast, West West End, with the boys and girls in courting. Okay, if the boys from Southwest would go to Northwest to court, to play a courter girl, it would always wind up the boys, if they didn't like the boys that was visiting, it would be a fight and they had to run for their life across 10th Street Bridge. And the same way up here in Southwest, if they came to Southwest, the boys had to make sure that they were liked by some of the boys up here, because it would they would run them back across the bridge. It was what would something like the, what is the McCoys, the Hatfields. But it was, we talk about that in there, how one man was telling me how he used to come to Southwest to visit this girl. And they were going to fight him because they didn't want him up here courting the girls in Southwest. But the girl's brother liked him. And so he escaped. Looking back on it, it was silly, but still that's the way it was.
Where do you think that protectiveness of the neighborhood came from?
I don't know, because it is something to think about, because I always just had a close feeling with everybody that lived up here. And you knew everybody. Today you don't hardly know your neighbors. If they live at the far end of the street, you know, I mean, if you've been there for years and then maybe a new person coming in the neighborhood, younger, and especially when you're getting older. I've been where I live for about 42 years. And some of the neighbors I don't know, But it was a time that I knew everybody and knew their children by name. But it's not like that today.
I think we're about ready to wrap up, but I'd love for you to tell me maybe if you can think of one other story or memory, maybe of your grandparents or something from when you were younger. If there were any special games or special treats that you would have or any trips that you went on.
Oh, I remember every year we would go to a place called Grotto on the train. You used to call them excursions, I think, like picnics. And the train would go so slow. I mean, it took all day for you to get almost where you were going. I remember as a little girl, but they would pack baskets full of food, and we would go and stay all day. And that was something to look forward to, you know. And then we would come back in the afternoon. To get on the train, that was great, you know. And today we don't have train service here in Roanoke. And I remember the time you could go down and board the train and go anywhere you wanted to go. My grandfather used to work for the N&W, so they could get a pass free at that time. And that's how they got back to Mississippi, traveling to and fro, you know, because they didn't have to pay. And I wish we had the trains here today. I think you'd go to Clifton Forge, either Richmond, and it's somewhere to catch the train now.
I think you can get it in Stanton.
You can, but at that time, you could go, you know where the station is, across the Randolph Bridge at that time. What do they call that now? The bridge where the station used to be, in Northeast.
I'm not sure.
Well, you know where you go across there, Northeast, left from Hotel Roanoke, the bridge. There used to be Randolph Bridge. I don't know what they call it now. And the station was on the right. And you would go down, you know, there to get your ticket and everything. You could get on the train there. And I remember as a little girl, that was so much fun. Today, some children never been on the train. So, I guess...
Well, I think we will wrap it up there, but... I do want to let you know that if you think of other stories that you want to tell, we can always do follow-up interviews
okay.
with you. And also something that we also collect in the Virginia Room is we also like to get photographs that people have. We accept donations of people's photographs or written memoirs, or we can also just scan them as well so that people can, sometimes people... They love their photographs and can't give them up, but they'd love for us to have a copy, and we can do that as well. So, like what you were saying about the circus albinos, we love to have those to show people that go parallel with the story as well. And all of that, I'm going to fill out a little bit more paperwork with you to make sure I have everything correct,
okay.
And then we'll let you... get back to socializing out there with everybody
okay.
else. So I'm just going to get...
What is your name?
I'm Ashley Maynard, and I have a business card I can give you.
And the gentleman?
I'm River Laker.
Oh, you're the one they introduced out there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. And your name? You were run on time?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
This is a little bit about the Oral History Initiative, and this is my card. And that just tells you about what this is all about, and we'll have your story in the Virginia Room. So should you ever want for someone to listen to it, they can come in and listen to it there at the library.
The library downtown.
That's right, the main branch.
Mm-hmm. I renewed my card.
Let me make sure. So the streets that you lived on in Roanoke, I just want to get those down.
Jackson Avenue. 14th Street and 15th Street.
And now you're on Leon.
Uh-huh.
And you were born in Roanoke,
yes,
that's correct?
On 15th Street. The house is still there.
Were you born in the hospital or at home?
Home.
At home.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, I've already got your birthday, which is the 26th.
At that time, there weren't too many people born in the hospital.
No, my grandmother had almost all of her children at home. The name of your spouse?
Reverend, either Elder, put Elder, because in our church they go by Elders, Robert Kirk Ingram. In the most of the Baptist churches and others, they go by Reverend. But my husband's, I am Pentecostal.
And the names of your children?
Robert Kirk Ingram Jr. Geneva Nadine Ingram. Robin Clarissa Ingram.
And do you mind sharing with us the years they were born?
Oh my goodness!
If you can remember, if you can't remember that.
No.
I know that's hard. My grandmother had 9 children, so it's a lot for her to remember.
I know my son was born. He was leap year, and then one was born 4th of July.
Let's see. So I've got that done. Let me fill out the other people present. I have, Jenny, how do you spell your last name?
Yes, it's Boone,
okay.
J-E-N-N-Y.
Okay.
What was the first one?
Jenny.
No, the other one.
Last name is Boone, B-O-O-N-E. Oh. Yeah, it's my married name.
Well, we thank you so much for sharing your stories and for letting extra people and a camera be in here. I know that's a lot of pressure, but you did amazingly well and didn't show any signs of nervousness. So,
well, I work on a nursery now. No, see, tell them. I work in the nursery. I hold the babies and give them the bottle.
Oh, goodness.
I've been doing it for 8 years. And it's, I just love it.